Okay, so when it came time to do abstracts for this meeting, I didn't think very long about what I wanted to talk about. This is what I wanted to talk about because I've been working on it for about a year now, trying to understand what cloud computing means in a very practical way. All right, first we need a definition here. In the previous speaker, you got kind of a definition by implication. I'm going to take it on explicitly. But first, let's look a little bit about why we have to take the definition on. Almost everyone in this room is old enough to be cynical about the next new thing in computing. And one of the reasons that you're cynical is because of Moore's Law. So for the last 50 years, 5-0, computing power has doubled every 2 years. And the current experts think it'll go on for another 10 years. So in that environment where, again, resource power is doubling every 2 years, it's no wonder that today's good idea is tomorrow's irrelevant idea. And today's wild and crazy idea is tomorrow's good idea. And that's why we get cynical about the latest and greatest and stuff. And when I started looking at cloud computing, I said, bleh, you know, what do I want to look at this for? Why do I care? Well, this talk is about why we care. So we're going to come back to the details of this diagram throughout the talk. But for the moment, the word cloud just comes from almost every internet diagram that you've seen for the last 30 or 40 years represents the internet as a cloud, and that's where the name comes from. So again, our first attempt at a definition here is, as you just heard in the last speaker, it's dynamically scalable, which means, you know, when we need it, the cloud is going to supply enough computing resources. It's virtualized, and I'm going to generalize the notion that you just heard, and it runs as a service. All right, now, the point about the virtualization is key here. So it's not only can more than, you know, if you're a developer or running an application, you think you're running on a single machine, but in fact, you're running with a lot of other people on a single machine. It's also the other way around. Namely, you're running an application, and if you need more computing power, you think you're running on a single machine, and it's running on many machines. So virtualization works in both dimensions, and that's an important aspect of the cloud here. And again, the point of the cloud is that you, as a developer or as an application user, you don't have to know about it, or at least that's in theory. Now, here's where the rubber meets the road. Now, these footnotes, I'll give you my sources on the last slide. The first one was a story about, I think, the 40th anniversary of Unix, and the reason that he went at it the same way. Unix is something that's lasted, and it's not going to go away. And the gentleman that first came up with the notion of cloud computing, it's on the Wikipedia page, which is 13 pages, 87 citations currently. You know, and it changes every day. The gentleman was here at Emory, here in Atlanta. And he really nailed it. It's just that, but you have to kind of chew on this definition for a while because we're all old enough to remember when our work was limited by the technical power of computers and not necessarily our budget. If you had more money, you could buy more computers, and sometimes it helped and sometimes it didn't. But now the point of cloud computing is that computing is just an economic resource. If you have another dollar, you buy more. If you have less a dollar, you buy less. It's a very important distinction, which we're going to revisit many times. All right, so let's work on this definition a little more. So my view of the definition, and again, initially, and I'll get to this in a moment, it's kind of freaky because I'm relinquishing control. I'm transferring accountability and responsibility. If I didn't back up my data and I lost it, well, it's my fault. Well, now it's somebody else's fault. All right, so here's story number one that got me started on this journey. So this is on the web. It's an audio. I am very interested in storage in the cloud. I want to offload the storage problem. I don't want to be tied to a machine. I want it to be accessible from my cell phone, an internet cafe, home, work. I don't want to worry about backup. I don't want to worry about machine failure. It's going to become the universal way of doing business. So what are the properties that a storage service has to provide in order for me to be really happy with it? Question mark. Ensure that the data will be put in the storage service is always there and we always can get it back. And I am also interested in the confidentiality of this information. So who's Barbara Liskov? How many even know who she is? This is a cultural challenge here. One in the back there. So the closest thing to the Nobel Prize that we have in computer science is the Turing Award. She's the last winner. She's a full professor at MIT. And what shocked me when I was listening to the interview, you can find this on the web and the citations at the end, is that here's a woman who could, she's made major contributions to object-oriented programming. That's what she got the prize for. She could have any computing setup she wanted. She could have a big computer in her office. She could have a big one at home. She could have one in her car, whatever she wanted. What she wants is the cloud. And I was initially horrified by this. This is about a year ago. I said, wow, you know, given to somebody who could have anything that she wanted, you know, she wants it to run on everything and with these properties, and it started me on this journey. Okay. So the trade-off here is that I helped coach 11 and 12-year-old boys baseball, and the problem at this level is, what do you tell the outfielders? Do they throw to a base? Do they throw to the cutoff man, or how do they decide? And the answer is, and it's going to be what you're going to decide, if you know where you want to throw it and your arm is strong enough, throw it there. Meaning if you can take care of your own machines and you have the money and the time and the skill and the temperament to do it, go for it. If you have any doubt in your mind, you transfer the responsibility. We tell them, throw it to some infielder. Infielders know what to do with the ball. They take care of it. So it's this transfer of responsibility. If you're happy with what you got, go with it. And if you're not, use the cloud. All right, second story. And I didn't listen closely enough to these stories when I first heard them. Go, oh, yeah. So there have been large purchasing groups of physicians. So they arm wrestle with vendors, and they pick a couple of vendors in a beauty contest. And lo and behold, one vendor, you have to put the mini computer in the closet, and you know, it's connected to the internet, and you get updates and maybe some storage backup, maybe not. And the other vendor says, oh, no, we run on the cloud. You just have a screen in your office, and it all goes over the internet. You don't have to worry about anything. Which one do you think the doctors are picking? They're picking the cloud. Now, I think if they're doing it for an economic reason, they think it's going to be cheaper up front, and I think it is up front. Will there be hidden costs later? Probably. But this is at least anecdotally happening. Story number three. So as a citation number five here is a book that you'll see. It's the O'Reilly book on cloud computing. So in the opening salvo there, the author says, well, I was in a startup, and you know, we want to have a worldwide web application, blah, blah, blah. And that means we got to buy a lot of servers. So they went to Amazon, and Amazon said, okay, we'll give you the nonstop computing and the redundancy and the backup and all that good stuff for $1,000 a month. Okay, so they didn't have enough money to buy their own machine room, so they went with $1,000 a month. And were there problems? Of course they were, because it was so cheap, they rolled each boulder out of the way one at a time, and pretty soon they had what they wanted. So next part of this story is, you know, I'm helping a little startup, and most startups meet in, you know, somebody's dining room, and the projector shines on the wall, and they're showing me the demo, and they've already got some early adopters. You know, they got double-digit users around the country, and I say, well, where are your machines? Figuring that, you know, they've got them in a bunker down in Silicon Valley somewhere. No, it was Amazon. I say, well, how much are you paying for that? $250 a month to serve double-digit users across the country. When I started a company less than 20 years ago, we spent more on hardware than we did on salaries. And I lost sleep at night thinking of the sprinkler head, you know, over the machine room. These guys, no, they don't worry about that. You know, they're worried about their customers and what features and what's this vocabulary stuff, Tuttle, and where are the standards and so on. That's what they're worried about. So this is a huge difference. And does the Amazon stuff work perfectly? No. Is it cheap? Yes. Am I suspicious of their business model? Yes. Do I think that they're, you know, it's a loss leader? Yes. But, you know, hey, I can't argue with, we paid more for our telephones, of course, than they're not paying for their computers. All right. One place this is going, and I think this is where the public health angle comes in, is that every digital device is going to be on some cloud, and the clouds are going to interoperate sort of, kind of. And whether public health cares or not, or healthcare cares or not, this is big business. And it's worldwide, they're working out how we're going to exchange all this stuff across national boundaries and have contracts that have any meaning. You know, I'm thankful I'm not working on that problem. All right, so here's some definitional caveats. as I said, it's going to be the dominant paradigm regardless, in my opinion. And this is from a book by the by Carr, who's the ex-editor of the Harvard Business Review, who talks, you know, again, it's the unintended effects. And I guess there's a meeting coming up now about the unintended effects of healthcare technology that we just heard Ted Shortlift talk about. So here's some unintended effects. Look at the businesses in that diagram. Which business started with the cloud in mind? Anyone? Does anyone use Zoho? So Zoho rents you applications, you know, like workflow analysis or, you know, big industrial applications by the month for dollars a month, you know, whatever you want, however many users you want. All those other companies up there started out in some other business, and now they're in the cloud computing business. And of course, this is going to affect personal health records. How exactly, I don't think we know right now, but you can take it to the bank that it's going to. So let's get into this McLuhan stuff here about how this is going to affect it. So here's an example again from Carr's book. He talks about kind of this is the new information age. So here's the New York Times whining away here. Their business model shot to hell. So this case, the medium is affecting their business in the deepest possible way. And the London Times, obviously, you know, hundreds of years older than the New York Times, says, you know, they train their reporters to craft the stories so it comes up the highest in the search engine. So there's a way in which the technology is affecting the content. Is technology going to affect public health content? Of course it is. So people are going to try to use, you know, Web 2.0 stuff, which we'll get in a moment, for public health stuff, and, you know, epidemiology is going to have to be reinvented. All right. So the good news here is that all this stuff is still going to be relevant. People are working hard on it today. They're all necessary. It's just going to be better, bigger, easier, cheaper if it runs on the cloud. And I hope all these. So is Sundoc here? He's the guy who put on the web that the H1N1 thing was going to be done in weeks. That was in early August, and I wanted to see him at this meeting to see if it was going to be actually done. Anyway, these are all good things. They're all going to be leveraged on the cloud, cheaper, better, faster. All right. And here's your government in action. The federal government wants to know, okay, cloud guys, how much is it going to cost us to move our stuff onto the cloud? Can you imagine the federal government running on Amazon? I don't know, maybe. What's an SLA? Anybody? It's not the Simeonese Liberation Army. I'll give you that clue. Service level agreement. Thank you. So needless to say, the government's very interested in, well, what exactly is that service level agreement? You know, if we're going to pay this much a month and we want to be guaranteed this much uptime, this much backup, so on and so on. Anyway, that was, and this came out just in early August. Hadn't come out when I sent in the abstract. So obviously where this is going is we're going to have somebody's going to write a PDA application, do I have swine flu? And theoretically, that application could be adjusted to reports of people with similar symptoms around you and whether the cases have been verified and reported, blah, blah, blah. So there are actually, and this is the funny part now, there are actually several applications out on Facebook that have to do with swine flu. As far as I can tell, they're all crap. But technically, it's very interesting in that they're sort of asking the question, does Web 2.0 provide any useful information about an epidemic? And, you know, it's an open question. Okay. So I wanted to ask Ted Shortlift before we gave the last talk here, are we really going to have terminology standards or not? You notice that the meaningful use criteria got postponed till next spring. But if we are, then the major challenge is data entry. You know, doctors hate standard terminology, and I don't blame them. You know, it's an impediment to getting their work done. But on the other hand, those of us who want to do aggregations, it's either we're either going to have to use natural language processing or standard data, and standard data is expensive and difficult. but what is it that cloud computing should do? It should do what the PDA shopping application. Anybody here use the shopping list application on your iPhone or your BlackBerry? These are, I haven't used them yet, but they're amazing, at least in terms of the advertised features. So the first thing is that you can have syncing. Now, as the babysitter can put something on the list, your wife can put it on, you can have it on, and if you buy the stuff, it goes off the list. Okay? So there's concurrency control, and there's 100,000 Jiffy peanut butter 12 ounces kind of standard food things in there, so that the data entry is easier, and it keeps a little frequency thing like which one are you liable to want and so on. And interestingly, it has a kind of localization. So if you know your store's layout, you can arrange the shopping list by category in the order that you want. So you start at the meat counter on one end and the vegetables are at the other end, and the list is in the same order. Now, if we can have that for grocery shopping, we should have it for public health data entry real soon now, I hope. So in a related thing, these personal organizers in the PDA, I just saw one last night that interoperated with Kindle. So one of my colleagues complained about the 5 inches of paper he was carrying around in his briefcase. But of course, most of them were PDFs. The rest he could scan. He can put them on Kindle, and Kindle can talk to his PDA, all using the cloud. All right. So your tax money paid me to work on the standard terminology problem for more than 20 years. Do you have any standard terminology yet? Well, not really. But I'm still hoping. So the cloud, what it should do, it should help take away the pain. The cloud should provide you with services. So if you have any message where you're trying to put something in use standard terminology, just like the shopping thing, which kind of Jiffy peanut butter do you want? It should help you refine, improve, sustain, maintain all these things, standard messages. These are services that should live in the cloud and be available to every application in the world. Now, I told the federal government this a long time ago, and they listened politely, and nothing has happened yet. But my view is, if it's a standard, it should be available in the cloud to every application, period. Okay, and again, it should accept anything, natural language, on up, speech, and just do the best it can. And the better it is, the better the result will be, but it should do whatever it can. Because what we'd like to do is what the last talk was about. We should turn public health into an analytical problem, not a data entry problem. All right. Let's try to draw all this together. So the technology in the cloud is just stuff that's been around for a decade, packaged in a new way with a new business model. I claim that it's going to be revolutionary from a social point of view, because once people start using things with anywhere, anytime access, they get used more, and there's a forward feedback, which then makes things better. All right, let me give you a simple example. So, I'm a little late on the technology curve. My kids finally said, "Dad, get an iPhone." Fine, okay, so I got one. And I'm the kind of person, I only want to read the manual later. I want to see if it'll work first. And I got it synced with my computer. So all of a sudden, I'm getting alerts here that are in my computer calendar. Well, that's good. Didn't read the manual, and it worked out of the box. So this morning at 9:15 here, I got an alert that said I have a lunch date in 15 minutes. Well, so what happened? Well, I live 3 hours away in California. So I hadn't done it, I hadn't figured it out, but at least now I have the motivation that since the thing basically works, somewhere in the manual I can look up and figure out how to get my iPhone, which works on local time, synchronized correctly with my laptop, which is still on California time, and give me the alerts at the right time. And this is a deep point made by both the books that you'll see at the end, that once you get started and the energy of activation is now so low, you're motivated, and your users and your developers are motivated to sort of solve the problems one at a time. Whereas if you had to solve them all up front, you might not do it. But as you're all sitting there, what's the elephant in the room? Anybody? Security. Okay, so here's the concluding chapter from the O'Reilly book on cloud computing. And this is the thing which is sort of unnerving, because if you're a belt and suspenders kind of guy, says I'm done. That's right. Okay, so we had a kid down the street go to a party and die. He took some drugs, died from his own vomit. The drug was extremely unusual. The medical records somewhere say who got that drug in our geographic area, but you can't look at those medical records if you're the police. So there's going to be a bunch of lawsuits. So a lot of stuff is going to come out in the open, and the splatter effect is going to be huge, and the same, you know, cloud computing splatter is going to be huge. This is the thing about, you know, how are we going to deal with other countries when you know, the stuff starts flowing back and forth across borders, and who's accountable and whose laws apply, and the laws are out of date anyway, and so on, and a lot of lawyers are going to get rich on that one. Perimeter security now doesn't make a sense anymore. Now, what's the perimeter? And of course, user credentials is just going to be a big problem. And this is what Barbara Liskov probably spent the rest of her career on. All right. Again, this is my pitch for what is it that the cloud should do. And the answer is that cloud should just take care of anything that's standard. Because in some sense, standards, we don't care about security. You know, we care about functionality and how hard is it to use. And that's it. And here are all the citations referred to. And I'm done. Thank you.